This is audio on theme, Protocol of an Extraterrestrial Contact from the year 1962. Title, A Call from the Cosmos. Contactees was Mediala Friedenskruis Berlin, Psychic Peace Circle, Berlin. Mediums was U. Speer and Monica Manuela Speer. And on the other side, Santina, and Ash Tarshan. These words from Interplanetarians published by the Mediala Friedenskruis Berlin, a Christian, spiritual community, were received during many public seances. We are mainly dealing with fully automatic writing messages subconsciously received by experienced mediums. All of these mediumistic messages were left in their original form, even if similar questions were repeated. The work of the two mediums began when they were 15 and respectively 17 years old. The total production of the MFK Berlin, Mediala Friedenskruis Berlin, the Manitical and the 21 transmissions from the Space Brothers are considered the absolute pinnacle of psychoscientific research. Other spiritual circles have often tried to copy the work of the MFK, but its quality was never achieved. The reproduction and distribution of these rearranged messages and protocols is explicitly encouraged and is not governed by any copyright. First headline is, Preface by the Publisher, in company of King Joachim and many of his people. Ezekiel, Luther Bible, Ezekiel, a descendant of a line of priests, was led into banishment to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar in 597 BC. There, at the side of the Euphrates Canal near Tel Abib, he was ordained a prophet by God. He was aware that God's spirit had got hold of him, that God's hand had grasped him and transported him to Jerusalem and repeatedly out onto the plains where strange physical conditions laid claim to his proclamation assignment. As he provided many of his sayings with dates and actually put them to paper himself, we can assume that his period of activity was between 592-571 BC. In order to simplify matters, the Bible's passages of Ezekiel 1, chapter 4, 25, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, when they stood, and had let down their wings. 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. 27, and I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Ezekiel 2. Chapter 1 7, 1, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me, they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. 4. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and you shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. 5. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. 6. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, UGH briars and thorns be with thee, and you dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, UGH they be a rebellious house. 7. And you shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Ezekiel 3. Chapter 12, 12, Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Bad South Suflin, January 1997. Next headline is, Preface, by Herbert Victor Speer, leader of the Psychic Peace Circle, Berlin. The international psychoscientific fraternity knows of many metaphysical message transmission phenomena. These facts are unfortunately not known by the general community. Intelligent revelations take place behind the scene of publications of daily events the average citizen hardly hears anything about. Intellectual circles guard these secrets, because they should not reach the public's ears. If they do reach the public, they are derided, and one endeavors with all possible means to portray these extraordinarily important facts as nonsense or superstitions. Many scientists have absolutely no idea about what takes place on Earth in this regards. They only possess a view if the world that was drummed into them at school, one that is by no means correct in every respect. This contact report is a splendid, if not strange, communication with people of a far superior development from another planet that come to us in brilliantly developed mechanical spaceships. These contacts take place at a number of locations on Earth, sometimes through automatic writing, sometimes telepathically. Telepathy between terrestrial people has been scientifically verified. This happens when their UGHD frequencies coincide. Psychoscience verifies another type of telepathy, namely one between a person living on Earth and a human entity that lives under different conditions, for instance in the fourth dimension that cannot be grasped with one's normal sense organs. Terrestrial religions have always determined the cultures, UGHDs and actions of the people on Earth. The mistakes within these religions in turn produced mistakes in people's social behaviorism between themselves. In spite of an advancing technology and in spite of scientific progress, mankind still lives in spiritual darkness. It carelessly ignored the most eminent insights. The people on Earth cannot eliminate the fatal mistakes in their social behaviorism and the way they interact with nations, races and tribes with tear-mending religious aberrations. Terrestrial humanity does not require weapons to assure its safety. It requires the truth within which there can be no peace. Terrestrial human beings are incapable of finding the truth unless they receive help from an extraterrestrial source. These pages here represent the extraterrestrial help required to gain the objective truth. We will not take offense if one or more readers should doubt the genuineness of these extraterrestrial messages, because it requires some psychoscientific studying to correctly understand such phenomena. There is, however, enough impartial knowledge here to satisfy the curiosity of those readers as well. The prepared readers, however, will be filled with awe when they sense the patience and love mankind on this earth is surrounded by. If the people on Earth cannot comprehend these psychic phenomena, it is due to the fact that they are not part of any school curriculum. People are accustomed to looking at things from a spatial and temporal point of view. They only know objectivity from a terrestrial point of view. This objectivity, however, restricts their UGHT processes. They must be educated in this respect so they finally comprehend that they might live on Earth, but that they are equally at home in the vastness of the universe. They are not only subjected to terrestrial laws, but to cosmic and universal laws as well. Journalists make fun of extraterrestrial flying objects they nonsensically call flying saucers. The same journalists, however, do not laugh when enormous amounts of money are ventured in an attempt to reach the moon. Everybody can discern from this that the general analysis is one-sided. The universe consists of billions of solar systems. This certainly provides billions of prerequisites for human life of various levels of development. Those that are successful in reaching another star system will find a level of development there that already surpasses the terrestrial. The following facts have to be taken into consideration. People from other star systems and artificial space stations have been able to fly to our Earth for millennia. Reports in the Bible tell us about this fact. These are very valuable evidential documents, but they have been falsely interpreted. We are not dealing with divine miracles. Extraterrestrial spaceships are sighted at all kinds of locations on Earth even now. They can, however, be confused with other heavenly bodies. Pilots have ascertained that these extraterrestrial spaceships are manned. We find the same assessment in the Old Testament. Personal contact with the occupants of these spaceships is extremely rare and only possible for the right kind of people. The people on these spaceships speak German, English and Italian. They speak other languages only imperfectly. We heard them speak all other terrestrial languages, but by no account are any of them their mother tongue, which we don't understand. They call the other planet where they come from Metheria. This is a planet in Alpha Centauri. The great distance of over 4 light years is bridged UGH a number of intermediate station. The journey is accomplished by flying beyond the speed of light. Our contact reports do not deal with the technology of these spaceships, but exclusively with the messages people from other star systems convey to us. These messages are extremely important to us and they explain a lot of our mistakes. We are therefore not dealing with a philosophy nor with fiction here, but with objective facts that stem from the knowledge and observations of people whose overall development is way beyond our own. We are confronted with a major difficulty when we try to publish these messages. It is extremely difficult to make it comprehensible that there are terrestrial people that are in contact with entities from other star systems and lifestyles in an invisible, that is to say, non-measurable way. Psychologists might explain such contacts the result of schizophrenia. They are, however, mistaken, because the content of these contacts show no sign of anything pathological. On the contrary to the content of these conversations is eminently valuable and intelligent and very individual into the bargain. It isn't the task of this script to demonstrate in detail how such a contact is established and also not how it takes place. The crucial thing here is the content itself. It is designed to encourage us to contemplate whether our present knowledge is correct. We must strive for our own assessment of our existence on Earth. These messages are in this respect true revelations and they represent divine help for us. Divine help has always been there and this is why this help is certainly not something extraordinary. We are naturally not dealing with material help, but with a large step towards gaining insights into the human existence. We recommend that the readers do not concentrate too much on the origin of this message as this demands pretty extensive studies of occult and mystic literature. The reader should rather direct his or her attention to the content of this message, because we are dealing with indoctrinations that are extremely important for us. These messages are not the first ones that we received from an extraterrestrial source. We received and published a whole series of remarkable messages over the last years. Extraterrestrial contacts cannot be established arbitrarily. We are depending on the responsiveness of extraterrestrials in this case. We cannot give them instructions and we must be modest when he question them. The opportunity to gain a lot of information about our terrestrial existence exists once such a contact has been established, because our planet has been constantly controlled and observed by extraterrestrials for millennia. The whole world has extensively dealt with UFOs over the last few years. In spite of USANS of reported sightings, one has been unable to get to the core of the UFO phenomenon. This phenomenon is still shrouded in secrecy. Terrestrial UGHT processes and terrestrial experience fail to understand why these extraterrestrials play a kind of hide-and-seek game with us. We would like to confront them, look into their faces and ask them what they really want from us. But they remain in the background instead. They fly around our globe and secretly snoop around our affairs. They wholly avoid detection and bring their messages via supernatural channels. All of this seems very strange to us. We are, however, not aware of the true reasons for this. We have no influence on their secretive behaviorism. But we can talk to them here and there. Their answers are very clear and their criticism of our mental attitude seems more than justified. The subject ufology may not be derided by the ignorant or by wiseacres. It requires serious research to and an insightful assessment. We particularly lack the appropriate scientific experience in regards to the occult and this includes all religions. Millions of amateurs have sometimes fanatically, sometimes negatively dealt with this. They might have somewhat breached the darkness of the spiritual regions, but they are still miles away from lifting the veil from the invisible. Signed, Herbert Victor Speer. Next headline is, a scientific explanation. Question: many contemporaries cannot imagine that human beings are supposed to have an immortal soul. Is there an opportunity to explain this assumed immaterial soul? Ashtashwin, we know that this uncertainty here on Earth has great significance. Most people on Earth actually do not believe in the existence of an immortal soul at all. This is why they erroneously assess other things in connection with their existence as well. If they were eminently aware that their life continues after their disembodiment, they would inevitably change all their UGHT processes and their behaviorism. To this insight has been part of our fundamental knowledge base for us, the Santina, people from another star system, for a long time, and it has helped our enormous ascendancy. If I must give you a scientific explanation for this, I can only do so by using terminologies you're familiar with so you can understand me. I can only follow up on what you have already started. We must assume that most people will not be able to comprehend such scientific explanations whatsoever. I am therefore forced to use the simplest terminologies so the layman can comprehend what this is all about. But I unfortunately have to leave out a lot of things. Moreover, we cannot discuss this or the other all day long. All the things that are important must be discussed within a few hours. Mankind on Earth is to receive another indoctrination, one that signifies one more step towards the most eminent insight. The soul possesses an immaterial body that represents an absolute parallel to the physical body. The soul is therefore spatially contained and restricted to within its own space. Just the way the physical body is constructed from atoms, the immaterial body is also constructed from the minutest universal building blocks. We are dealing with all kinds of groups of tiny building blocks, except for one, you are unaware of the others. Your sciences have reached a point where measuring the soul in one way or another should be possible. For as long as its texture cannot be ascertained through technical apparatuses, it will not find recognition amongst the terrestrial sciences. Whatever the sciences do not acknowledge, the broader masses cardinally reject. This is why most of the people on Earth adhere to a decisive aberration that has incalculable consequences. The conclusion that the human soul exists and that it is indestructible is the most important prerequisite for the whole human race and for the whole existence of planet Earth. The soul's existence can be verified under all circumstances. There are no excuses. There is the path of psychic powers, and furthermore, there are spiritual seances that allow the gathering of evidence. The sciences, however, do not utilize these methods, but derisively ignore it. There is, however, one other verification that from a scientific point of view cannot be denied by exact science under any circumstances. It has not been concealed from terrestrial science that space contains subatomic particles that race through space at above the speed of light. They penetrate through all atomic structures. These particles, your sciences call them neutrinos, are perpetual, that is to say, they are in perpetual motion. One assumes that these particles do not possess an electric charge, but that many billions of these particles bombard and penetrate every square centimeter of planet Earth every second of the day. These neutrinos, that according to your theories fulfill no purpose at all, form part of the immaterial building blocks of the spiritual world. A philosopher is supposed to have said, "Where there is nothing, there can be nothing." To this is the reason why one rejects the soul, because its existence cannot be verified through conventional means. Neutrinos can also not be verified through conventional means. One has, however, been able to verify their existence through non-conventional means and given them a name in spite of this. The soul can also not be verified through conventional means, but particularly well with non-conventional means. These neutrinos group according to law with a number of other building stones to create construction systems, exactly the way this takes place with matter, atoms. The perpetual rotation, rotary impulse, gives them their motion and at the same time, their immortality. It is quite apparent that such neutrino systems cannot arrange and organize themselves of their own volition. To the creator is an ingenious master. He represents the engineer and the scientist that assembles these building blocks on hand of his own calculations. As every neutrino represents its own energy, terrestrial science will be able to assess and designate these neutrinos with innovative agents in the near future. Once they're able to do this, they will also be able to verify the existence of incarnated and otherworldly souls of terrestrial human beings through different means than before. A rural proverb states, What the farmer doesn't know, he doesn't eat. I am of the opinion that mankind will not accept the things it doesn't comprehend. Scientists also principally do not accept the things that do not fit within their school-taught knowledge. This school-taught knowledge, however, does not know what to do with the things that are immeasurable but still exist. I call out to you, you still have a lot to learn. The fundamental basis of a soul is perception, feeling and your thought. These are spiritual characteristics that are not brought forth by physical matter. Physical matter is insensitive, it can neither perceive nor think. But this organized physical matter represents a connector to the soul. Let's take the eye as an example. Physical matter is organized to perform an optical activity. This, however, is not enough, because a photo lens might record a picture. But where is the observer? To the soul is in all cases the perceiver, the appraiser and the determining UGH processor. Billions of solar systems form the divine universe. Man has no perception of the enormous miscellaneousness of life associated with this. All of this would, however, be meaningless if man with his soul were not the observer of this universe. Man is capable of contemplating this. Only through man does this enormous creation actually gain ingeniousness to it has actually been created for man. Motion is life, because life comprises energy. The alleged law that matter is dead has hereby been refuted. The whole universe is the result of continuing experiments. The universe does, however, not experiment of its own accord, because this requires a planning, forward-looking and calculating intelligence. The Creator, however, has his numerous assistants and mankind is a part of it. The human soul has not yet completed its development, it still has eons of further development in front of it. There are two things we have to strictly differentiate between, namely matter with or without soul. Most philosophers never applied this yardstick, because they wanted to measure the spirit with the laws of physics. One must take into consideration that spirit and matter represent two different worlds that have their own laws, but still belong to the same universe. In regards to things of an organic nature, spirit and matter are to be regarded an interlocked oneness. In regards to things after one's demise, spirit and matter are to be strictly separated, because they in no way still belong together in this case. The activity of consciousness is marked by its capability of pure UGHD processes. This is the soul's distinguished characteristics. As you can see, science already holds the evidence for the existence of the immortal soul in its hands. Terrestrial science unfortunately keeps this information in the background, because it doesn't have the courage to face the spiritual revolution that would be triggered by this. You should not make the mistake of equating unconscious life with conscious life. Only conscious life is associated with the soul. Your whole view of the world is basically wrong. For as long as the general public of this planet is not correctly informed in regards to the objective facts about life and death, all of mankind's UGHTS processes must end up with the wrong conclusions. This is the reason why all theologies and also all politics is untrue and focused on false targets. It is absolutely irrelevant whether these explanations stem from the regions of other star systems or whether we are dealing with a terrestrial insight. It is important that the truth is spoken unaltered to, and it is even more important that this truth is finally acknowledged by those in responsible positions on this planet. My name has been bandied about in certain circles of late. I am also aware that prominent people quibble over my name in order to say that these messages do not stem from an authorized source. All I can say to this is that there is only one source for the truth, and it is called rationality. As you know, my name is Ashtarshan. The name Ashtar is just as prevalent on my home planet as the names of Smith or Jones is on Earth. Literally translated from our language, the appellation Ashtar means the responsible. I hope that the dissatisfied are now satisfied. Do therefore not pay attention to the name, but pay attention to my crucial words. I am not an anarchist, and it is not my intention to create chaos or start a revolution, but I am determined to eliminate some mistakes that have kept the people on Earth in chains for millennia and prevented any spiritual advancement. Essential knowledge alone does not represent spiritual advancement by any stretch of the imagination, the facts speak against it. An ignorant, sadistic humanity exists on this planet that has no idea about its actual existence and purpose in life. Wars on this planet are evidence of an incomprehensible underdevelopment of the human spirit. One might not assume that the leading echelon of the people on Earth suffer from insanity, but that the leading echelon has not idea about the human soul and spiritual life within the universe is beyond doubt as far as we are concerned. We must do everything we can to create a level of comprehension through elucidation that will lead to a new formulation of the most important human concepts. We are, however, aware that particularly theology and the circles it influences set an enormous resistance against this new formulation of your knowledge base. Theology on Earth is like a drug. One gets into a state of inebriation or drugs oneself in order to not have to face the truth. Once such an addiction has taken a strong hold, one is unable to shake it. Red communism is for once correct when it talks about opium for the masses. But behind this superstition communism calls opium awaits the august truth, ready to be let in. I will therefore endeavor to establish guidelines that will enable mankind on Earth to acquire real insights. Most people on Earth are eminently aware that the materialistic thesis of man's lack of a soul is not correct. These people sense the indefensibility of this assertion, but they succumb to academic judgments. The sciences have procured so much power that even politics has to bow to it, to whatever they reject will remain taboo for rest of the world. This is why people have to endure a lot of nonsense, even UGH their own personal opinion differs widely. This, however, leads to pangs of conscience and creates a dilemma. People continuously fight their own inner battle, because they know that one is withholding the truth from them. They no longer know what to believe. This situation robs them of the energy to promote their development. Mankind on Earth has therefore been condemned by academic ignorance. It knows nothing about itself. Next headline is, a theological explanation. Question: the Soviet dialectic materialism, DIMAT, promoted the theory that consciousness is tied to physical matter. According to this assertion, man allegedly loses consciousness at the point of death and there is no such thing as ascension for man. This makes mankind lose all belief in God and in a spiritual existence in another world. Can you definitely refute this dangerous theory? Ashtashrin, people can assert a lot of things, but that doesn't automatically mean that it is true. To if one doesn't undertake the kind of serious research in this direction the way other natural sciences are probed into, one should not be surprised that no genuine results are achieved. To come up with a theory is conceivably simply, because your theories do not require evidence, they are content with vague assumptions. Consciousness is a cosmic process and this is one more reason why it can't be only tied to physical matter. Consciousness can exist with it. Consciousness, however, can be fettered to physical matter in order to fulfill a special assignment. This is the case in every incarnation. We have undertaken research in this direction with all available means and we have gained an objective insight. You ascribe matter an intelligence that does not exist in this form at all throughout the universe. Neither atoms nor whole systems can produce consciousness. Consciousness is not tied to matter, but to the spirit body, which in turn can be tied to matter. Consciousness is, however, an independent process in all cases. The brain entertains a kind of radio communication with the physical body. When a person dies, it does not forfeit its life, but this radio communication between body and spirit simply breaks up as if affected by a short circuit. Resurrection is the freeing of the spirit from its material fetters, but the spirit maintains its consciousness too, and this can severely plague it. One's continuous spiritual existence is not a mystery, but a natural matter of course that completely complies with the nature of the spirit. To it would certainly be a great mystery if it was reversed, namely if the spirit would discontinue to exist after this short circuit the way this crazy Soviet theory portrays it. Furthermore, mankind on Earth cannot lose its faith because according to our opinion, it does not yet possess a faith in God and it never possessed such a faith. Your alleged faith in God is something we regard as completely incredible. Do your faith in God, it matters not which splinter group or confession promotes it, is a kind of self-delusion. I am not saying that God does not exist. On the contrary,